Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to start the first of a series looking at Venus and Pluto. Now, this is a part of Venus's upcoming retrograde, and Venus is moving through a conjunction with Pluto before stationing, turning retrograde, and then moving back through a conjunction with Pluto. So we have a lot of this Venus-Pluto dynamic ahead of us in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to start today. We'll probably do at least one more video Thursday or Friday this week. But figure we should start unpacking it now. So I want to update you guys on the Kickstarter. We have 24 days left to go, and we are at 567 backers. Our goal for the year is 1,367. So we still have a little ways to go, but we're making good progress. And I just want to say a big thank you out there to all of my subscribers who have pitched in and supported. Really appreciate it. We can't get there without you. Let me pull it up on the screen so you can see it. The link is in the description video, the description of this video, or the chat box. You can click on the link, go. Any and every donation helps. Our goal is, again, 1,367 backers with 24 days left to go. And when you pledge, you can pick up a variety of different rewards. The Astrology of 2022 video comes with a slick calendar of all of the major transits of the year that we make for you. It's a pretty cool PDF that we give people so you can track all that I have in front of me month by month throughout the year. You can see what's going to be on this channel month by month with this calendar, plus a video taking you into just a deep dive into the astrology of 2022. You can pick up a year ahead horoscope reading. I have tons of bonus lectures. The year ahead horoscope reading will take you into that astrology based on the sun or rising sign, whatever you choose. I also have a horary readings left. And then the best deal I have is if you donate, you can attend one of my online courses. And if you bundle them together, the courses, the savings goes up. So I'd love to see some of you in classes. And if you're in my year one programs, you might want to combine, blend, or package two of them together, get year two in horary if you know you're going to stick around. This is also $400 cheaper than the early bird rate is when it comes around. So I always make this deal available during the Kickstarter every year as a way of supporting this channel. So thank you guys so much for all of your support. And let's see if we can keep the momentum going this week. Just every day that we keep chipping away and get people to throw in and support the channel, it's a big win. And also, you know, if you can't, for whatever reason, donate, you know, you can share, like, subscribe, click on the notification icon, send us some prayers. We appreciate all of it. I couldn't do this work without all of you. And I feel like I have the best audience. So I deeply thank you for your participation in this year's fundraiser. Okay. So that being said, let's look at the real-time clock. And we are going to take a look at Venus's upcoming conjunction with Pluto. So here you can see Venus is, and I've talked about Venus-Pluto in many previous videos, because every time throughout the year, Venus goes through conjunction, square, opposition, closing square with Pluto. So it's, you know, we visit Venus-Pluto several times a year, but this one's particularly powerful because of Venus's speed and the length of time that Venus is going to spend with Pluto in the next couple of weeks. So here's Wednesday, December 8th. Let's move it forward a day. It's still less than a degree away because it's really slowing down to station and turn retrograde. So it's by, if you go all the way to Friday, December 10th, it's still not conjoined. And that's very slow for Venus to not be moving more. You know, Venus typically moves about a degree per day. So finally on Saturday morning, you can see December 11th that the two are coming together down to the minute. And then by Sunday, you can see that Venus is moving past, but still on the same degree. Look at that. By Monday, it's still on the exact same degree within minutes. And then by Tuesday, you're starting to see a little bit of separation, and it gets to about a degree away, 1 degree away by the 17th of December, right? And then it stations on the 18th, 19th, and we have it turning retrograde into the 20th. Then it's going to pull backward. Now let's look at what happens. This is by December 23rd. So here you can see Venus going backward and conjoining with Pluto at the 25th degree, crossing over at the 25th degree. That's December 25th, Merry Christmas. And then you get Venus sitting at that 25th degree all the way till December 27th doesn't get about, you know, a degree away until December 28th. And then Mercury comes in and conjoins with Pluto between the 29th and 30th. So, I mean, we have such a lineup of Plutonian energy, Venus, Pluto in particular, but Pluto is very much featured between now and the end of the year. And don't forget that as all of this is happening, we're also going to see right around Christmas time, you're also going to see Saturn and Uranus get into the square with one another. So this is a very action-packed sequence, arguably the biggest transit of the year, considering that we put both of them together. So save the best for last for 2021, perhaps. But at any rate, today I want to talk a little bit, start opening this up and looking at this archetypal combination. So when we think about Venus, you're thinking about the goddess of love, but what is Venus's kind of underlying philosophical principle? If you want to say that there's a kind of philosophical principle at the core of the archetypal mandala, like the central image at the inside of a tapestry. Venus brings unlike things and finds some sympathy between them in order to harmonize them. So we say that Venus is the principle of relationships, but what we really mean is that Venus relates things together, and it finds a way of relating things together by nature of what they share or what may be complementary or what may be somehow symmetrical, but not necessarily that, you know, it's not that Venus indicates everything that is just rosy and dandy. There's always work with Venus in terms of harmonizing things that don't always find complete, that they don't have everything in common necessarily. So the work of Venus is always about finding likeness in different areas of life as Venus transits throughout the year. If you ever feel like doing this, take a journal and watch the whole sign house ingresses, watch Venus through the houses in your chart, and notice what kinds of work is being done in those areas to bring things together. It's like a diplomat traveling through your chart, trying to make arrangements and agreements. It takes work to do that. It's not the kind of work of Mars. It's not the kind of work of Saturn. There's a little bit more grace and ease and flow, like an artist bringing things together. But nonetheless, the work is still that of creating harmony. So what are some of the things that Venus deals with while trying to create harmony? One of the things that Venus deals with is lust. And let's just call it desire. Mars deals with desire. Venus deals with desire, but in different ways. When you think about Venus, you think about the object of desire and the attempts made to draw that object of desire to us naturally, organically. The secret side of that attraction is going to be Mars. Mars is always present where Venus is. They're like a dyad. So Venus's way of getting things done or getting things accomplished isn't necessarily any less selfish than Mars can be. It can be just as aggressive and passionate and hungry for something, whatever it might be, an outcome, a result, a person, a state of mind. But whatever it is, it's an object that appeals to Venus. That I want that. That's beautiful. That looks like it would be pleasing. And then the way that Venus goes about getting it is through drawing it inward. Mars presses outward. Venus draws inward. So Venus's tactics for getting something that we want is not always going to appear as aggressive on the surface, but it can be just as active and assertive in trying to get what it wants, but it may do so in ways that are more, they look at least more passive. For example, with Venus, you will often see more secretive forms of competition in the workplace. For example, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a Venus retrograde in someone's 10th house. And there's this like a lot of underhandedness or you know, ways of trying to get ahead that sort of bend the rules or play by the rules, or in one sense, on the level of appearances, everything looks nice, but under the surface, the way that something is being done or someone's trying to get something that they want is selfish or manipulative or something like that. So, you know, Venus can be a little bit more cloak and dagger. And, but don't forget that Mars is wherever Venus is. That's an important thing. And so the same could be said is true for Mars as well. But at any rate, so when you think about betrayal, when you think about jealousy, when you think about possessiveness, when you think about passive aggression, when you think about gossip, when you think about manipulation, when you think about things happening behind your back, those are the kinds of things that Venus can bring about when Venus is going through any kind of challenge. And those are exactly the kinds of things that tend to get amplified when Venus is, at least initially, when Venus is retrograding, turning retrograde, and specifically when Venus gets into it with Pluto. So what is the potential here? Well, there's going to be, you're going to have on display your desires. What do I want? What do I find attractive? Where am I trying to create some kind of agreement or satisfy my desires or urges or instincts or impulses? And how am I trying to do them in a way that is maybe, you know, less aggressive, direct, combative, hostile than Mars would do things, but nonetheless, I'm still trying to get something that I want. I'm still trying to get something that I desire. And what are the subtle ways that can get caught up, that you can get caught up in things? Jealousy, envy, possessiveness, betrayal, secrets, gossip. And the question here is, to me, with Venus Pluto is, as we become aware of these patterns, as we become aware of maybe some of the unhealthy desires that we have, or the unhealthy ways in which we're trying to go about accomplishing or getting what we desire, either way, can we make a change? Can we make a shift? Pluto will reveal things to us about either the object of our desire itself, or the way in which we're trying to get what we desire. Either way, you know, there's some change, there's some call to examine and look at things. I don't think it's bad to have desires, right? So that's not the message here. And I don't think that it's that Venus's way of operating is always bad either. There's different ways of going about, you know, pursuit of our desires and wishes. There's a Mars way and there's a Venus way. And I don't really see one as better than the other. But knowing, okay, there's a lot that can be, Venus can justify a lot so long as things look nice. Venus can justify a lot of, you know, the selfish ambitions and desires and greeds and lusts of the soul by placating or pacifying or making something look nice on the surface. So there's also kind of like what's on the surface versus what's within this desire, what's within this approach I'm taking. That's the kind of stuff that Venus and Pluto can reveal to us. There's a number of things that come with Venus Pluto, for example, that are interesting. Like one of the things that's been talked about by many astrologers over the years that I've studied astrology, at least, has always been sexual addiction. Now, I'm not going to talk about sex addiction at all, but what I do want to mention is the fact that with sex addiction, Venus Pluto dynamic I'm talking about, what's there really is the way in which an impulse or a desire can take over. And with many addictions, not just sex, but like, let's say food addiction, Venus Pluto potential, any kind of sensual experience that we get completely addicted to, that with that addiction comes all sorts of devious secret ways of trying to maintain it without letting people know what's going on. And then not that we need to, not that everyone in the world needs to know exactly what's going on inside of us either, but there's some way in which if we're in denial, if we can't face it and look at it and say, okay, they're like, what am I looking at in the mirror here? And how do I need to change? Which that's the most important thing. But if we can't do that, if we're like, no, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to own that. I'm not, you know, then what happens is Venus Pluto comes along and tends to bring it out where it can be seen first to us, but sometimes depending on the level of resistance, it seems to spill out and be seen by other people. And there's this way in which the Venus Pluto is like associated with like scandalous things. And that's something that, you know, I always tell people when it comes to Venus Pluto, as Venus Pluto is approaching, like if Pluto's about to conjoin Venus in your natal chart or oppose it or square it or something like that, if things start coming up and they're showing themselves to you, this is what's unhealthy or compulsive or a little addictive about something you desire or how you go about getting things that you want or need. And there's just something a little unhealthy about it. And you see that, take notes right away, make the change right away, because Pluto seems to really deeply reward our ability to just own things that come up from the unconscious. And if we see it and acknowledge it and like, aye, thank you, Pluto, then this powerful wave of renewable energy starts coming into our lives. The transformative effect is profound and healing, and it feels like you're being cleansed of something that you've been holding on to for too long. Or the feeling of transformation, renewal, regeneration, where does that Plutonian stuff come from? Well, it doesn't come from Pluto itself, in my opinion, as much as it does the relationship we establish with Pluto in such moments. Like, are you getting the message? If so, hang up the phone and, you know, receive it and say thank you for it. Even if it's a hard lesson, sometimes that's the best thing. It's just like, wow, that was hard. Okay. But now I see, and I can make a shift. I have seen more people come to grips with unhealthy addictions or unhealthy patterns in relationships or whatever with Venus Pluto over the years than, you know, I can even count. And by coming to grips with it, there's this sense of regeneration, where something felt dead, where something felt unhealthy, where something was becoming toxic. You see that potential for regeneration. There's a fairy tale that I've also heard mentioned by Liz Green and a number of astrologers over the years associated with Venus Pluto, and that's Beauty and the Beast. I don't know if you guys remember that one, but the Disney one comes to my mind. My kids have seen that a bunch. So here you have the vanity of a young prince who turns away like a stranger who's visiting in the night and thinking it's just like some old woman, some witch, and he turns her away in his vanity, and turns out that she is this beautiful sort of enchantress in disguise, and for his vanity, you know, turns him into a beast to show who he really is. And then, of course, the way that he's transformed is through his heart having to come out and the inner beauty needing to come out despite the outward appearance of the beast through falling in love. And that whole dynamic is very Venus Pluto in terms of something beautiful that's actually beastly and that we need to see it and deal with the curse of it, or something that's we thought was beastly that becomes beautiful. And that process is now in front of us between now and the end of the year. So that's a very powerful planetary signature to be facing as Venus turns retrograde, because we're going to talk more about Venus retrograde later, but Venus retrograde itself tends to signify the need for changes in our relationships. Venus retrograde, as Venus dives into the underworld, is Plutonian on its own. So now you're pairing it with Pluto to amplify that theme of Venus diving into the underworld and that transformation that it implies. Now, I asked the I Ching this morning, what do you think about this transit? What is there generally? And it came back 21 unchanging. So hexagram 21 is a hexagram that looks like an open mouth, and it's sometimes called biting or biting through. And usually it's the translation goes something like this. There is an obstacle to unity, like something caught between the teeth, and there, it needs to be eliminated, removed with effort or force in order for unity to be restored. There, another way of putting it would be that there is not just an obstacle to unity that needs to be restored through effort, like you have to chew or bite through something to eliminate an obstacle, but an obstacle to unity. But sometimes it will be discussed as like a legal matter, like something that You know, like, I think one of the translations describes, like, in the court of a king, there's, you know, there needs to be the application of laws and rules to deal with people who break the law. And so the application of law and rules to eliminate obstructions of justice, that's an interesting way of looking at it. But regardless, you can see that Venus conjoining Pluto, you know, as Venus is retrograde, could very well, like the hexagram says, be talking about the need to remove some kind of obstacle to union or to harmony, and to have to do so like forcefully, or to put in some effort to have to eliminate something that's blocking a happy or healthy relationship, or something that's prohibiting unity. And I thought that was just so concise and such a beautiful image. And we're going to be talking about that a lot, because Pluto or Venus is in Saturn's sign, you know, surprise, surprise, more Saturn energy. Then Venus going through the conjunction with Pluto, you could think, for example, about a restriction in the, you know, like the bowels, like when, you know, a child has, like, you know, impacted fecal tract. It's, I know it's kind of gross, but like you think about that Venus-Pluto dynamic, and you also think about obstacles to things flowing along and things that need to be eliminated that have to sort of, you know, be better digested and let out. You know, so stuff like that also comes to mind. The image of the mouth biting through something, eliminating something, some idea of digesting something that's stuck. So those are really, really interesting images. At any rate, I hope that this gives us some things to start thinking about. I know it's a little ominous. I do think that go back to the idea of exploring desires and looking at how we go about getting things that we want, and making some healthy changes there, saying, thank you, Pluto, got the message. We don't need to go, you know, make this Friday the 13th. You know, like, we don't need to go, this doesn't need to be like a crate, you know, I don't need to walk down into a horror set for my life in the next few weeks, because I'm getting the message and I'm taking notes and I'm being humble before a very powerful planetary transit. So hopefully that's how it goes for most of us, but we do have to put in that effort. At any rate, thank you guys for listening today. I really hope that this, again, is serving everyone, giving you guys some useful things to think about. We're going to be covering this from a number of different angles. And if you have Venus-Pluto in your birth chart, use the hashtag grabbed, put Venus-Pluto in my birth chart, and tell a brief story. Keep it really concise. If you or someone who's already experiencing this Venus-Pluto dynamic, put hashtag grabbed and use Venus-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn, and then tell us your story. See if we can congregate some stories and share them, even a little bit prior to the perfection of these transits, to prepare us. That would be nice too. If you prefer to email it, please send it to grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. We don't respond to those emails. We just kind of gather them together. So that's what I've got for today. Don't forget, we are pushing towards 600 backers today. Possibly need 33 more backers today to reach the 600 mark on our way to 1,367. 24 days left to go. If you enjoy this channel, please consider pitching in and supporting it. Maybe pick up tuition to one of my classes. All right, take it easy, everyone. Bye.